You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast, recorded live at our Manchester campus. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.
Well, before you take a seat, we are starting an incredible series called Teach Us How to Pray. I can't wait to get into it. And I want to read the scripture. I want us to read it together. Verse 6 of Matthew, verse 9 of Matthew chapter 6, right up to verse 14. And it reads, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." And everybody said, amen. Amen. Grab your seat, say hi to the person next to you for me, please. Tell them the guy at the front said, hello. Man, you sound like seagulls. Hi, 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 hi. Come on, people, stop it. Hey, we want to say a huge welcome again to our online experience. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's an incredible privilege to be able to share in the Word of God together. This is a big topic. This is a very big subject. And I have the privilege of starting it off this week only looking at three parts of this particular scripture. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And my job is done. So I'll be done in the next 3 minutes, plus a bit more. But here's what we want to look at. Just before we jump into that particular scripture and unpack it a bit more, I want to show you a few quotes on prayer. Charles Spurgeon, a big preacher in his time, he said this. He said, "I would rather teach one man to pray than to teach 1,000 men to preach. I would rather teach one man to pray than to teach 1,000 men to preach." And that should tell you something about prayer. And then we also go to Oswald Chambers, another great theologian in his time. He says, "The meaning of prayer is that we get a hold of God, not the answer." The meaning of prayer is that we get a hold of God, not the answer. How many of you know that the moment you have God in your situation, it changes absolutely everything? And yet sometimes our pursuit is the pursuit of the answer. God, you haven't answered me yet. But actually, what if we changed that and said, "God, I am after you. I am pursuing you because your presence in my situation means everything is now taken care of." It might not be changed. It might still be difficult. You might still be going through some stuff. But because he is there with you, changes everything. Are you with me? Really changes everything. And as we unpack this a little bit more, as we start to just work it through, I want to take a little bit of time breaking it down for us. I don't want us to rush through the scripture, because everybody has heard of the Lord's Prayer. You know, even those who may not believe in Jesus, they have also heard the Lord's Prayer. But we want to slow it right down a little bit and begin to explore what it actually means. So I'm going to start with our Father. I'm going to start there, our Father. But even further, I want to just focus on one word, our. I'm going to start there. That's what I'm going to say. So our Father, but primarily emphasize our. Before I jump into that, most of you already know we have four amazing, crazy, challenging, sometimes difficult, loving. Did I mention crazy sometimes? Yeah. Now, we've got four amazing kids. And every now and then, they do this thing where I can come downstairs and they just come up to me and grab me by the hand and just drag me down to the sofa and ask me to sit down. And the moment I sit down, they all just bundle up on me and they just want to sit on me. So in those moments, in my mind, I'm already thinking, what do you want? What's going on? What do you want? And the reason I think that way is because I've been trained by a certain individual who I'm in love with and I've been married to for a very long time. And as you know, most of the time she does some little extra bits. I'm thinking, what do you want? Right? So I'm not stupid. I'm thinking, I'm trying to figure out what is going on. And I do the same with my kids until they taught me a lesson. And I realized that in this moment, they just want to sit with me. They're not asking for anything. They're not looking for anything. They just want to sit with me. There's a picture that's going to come up on the screen of one of those moments. Yeah. Yeah. I'll let you do the R, but I'll let you have a moment with one of them, and then you quickly reverse your R. But here's what I noticed in moments like this. None of them are asking me for anything, but I began to realize that within my heart, as a father, in those moments, I began to notice that, okay, Malachi needs a haircut. This Anika needs this, and then Amaris needs that, and Malia needs this. And it dawned on me that in the life of a father, the moment where you are in his presence and you're not necessarily asking for anything, it is in those moments where you open up yourself to a broader realm of what the Father has for you. In those moments, they don't even realize I am planning their future 18 years from now. I need to open an ISA account for you. I need to have a lifetime ISA for you. You need to have money in your bank. By the time you turn 18, you should have 40 grand in your account by the time you start adulthood. And yet, if I allow them to just come into the place or come into my presence with a request, guess what Anika is going to ask for? Daddy, I want a teddy. Here's the revelation. Sometimes our prayer lives are reduced to reactions in our lives that we shrink the magnitude of God right down into the little things that we are asking for. And I want to say this to you right on the beginning. Begin to challenge yourself that God, yes, there are issues in my life. Yes, there are things that are going on in my life. But I want to recognize that when I'm in your presence, I know you've got broader plans than I am. Notice that in my situation, in my children, for them, it's the generation's goals. That's what they want, right? But in my heart, I'm thinking 18 years from now. The Father's heart is much broader than any request we can bring before him. And so we want to work through this a little bit more when we look at just the one word, our, starting there. Because Jesus says, when you pray, say, our Father. But looking at that particular word, our, I want to encourage you and just explain maybe one or two things there. I've read it over many years, and when I looked at that part, I always assumed it was because he was speaking to the disciples. And there are several of them. So hence, our. But actually, when you do a bit more of a study in there, you realize that there is a lot more going on in just that one word than we actually realize. And this is what we're going to look at now. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus answered and he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's important. And then we go to Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, even more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of the Father and is also interceding for us. Let's keep going. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Therefore, he is able to completely save those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. Now, why am I saying all of these things? I want you to quickly understand, number one, we cannot get to the Father unless it's through Christ. So, that's one part. The second part is this. Christ, upon his ascension into heaven, his primary responsibility now is to intercede for us. Think about it. He spent 3.5 years on earth. He did incredible and remarkable things in his ministry. But actually, the longest part of his ministry is now And his ministry is to intercede for us. What does it mean to intercede? To intercede is simply to go before one for the sake of the other. So in Jesus' case, he's going before the Father for our sake. Are you with me? All right, okay. We're going to keep going. One more. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. In other words, the depth of the intercession cannot be reduced to the languages we speak on earth. The depth of his intercession for us cannot be reduced to the languages of this earth. I'm going to invite two of my friends to just come up and help me. George, you want to come up and see me? Do you want to come up quickly, please? And I want to show you something as we enter into this idea of the posture of our prayers. We've just read these scriptures. On one hand, you have the Holy Spirit. And on the other hand, in his own time, you have Jesus. And the Bible told us very quickly that ever since he died on the cross, he was buried in the grave, and he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and now he sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. So please take your posture. And then the Bible also said, by the way, you guys, every time you come into prayer, it seems to be that your prayer life has become a reaction to circumstances. Listen to your prayer life. Notice how every time you come into prayer, or most of the times you come into prayer, it is a reaction to something. Now think about it. If this was a tactical part of war, if I was the enemy and I wanted to bring you out of alignment with what else God has in store for you, all I need to do is to bring chaos in your world, because I know that every time something kicks off, it shapes your prayer life. Oh, come on. Holy Spirit, take your place. Now watch this. The Bible even says both of these intercessors that are interceding for you, their intercession is in line with the Father's will. And he says, our prayer lives are unfortunately at best a reaction to situations. What we are actually meant to be doing when we approach the place of prayer, our posture in prayer should be one of coming into alignment with the intercession of the Son and the intercession of the Holy Spirit. Can you see that? So watch this. So even in the times where you don't feel like you have any words to speak, and you think, what's the point of praying? Because this thing is so deep, I can't say anything, I haven't got any words. I need to encourage you this morning that all you need to do is just turn up. Because as you get down into your place of prayer, you are aligning with the intercession of Jesus, and you are aligning with the intercession of the Holy Spirit. And there is no greater prayer than aligning with the Son and the Spirit. And I know sometimes you go through the things that happen in our world, and the idea is to push you away from the place of prayer. What's the point? But I pray that this morning you'll never forget this visual. Every time you feel like you're drifting from the place of prayer, or you're being steered to pray about certain things in reaction to what's happening in your life, I want you to remember this picture. Before you even turn up to pray, the Spirit is interceding with groanings that cannot even be uttered. The Son is already interceding on your behalf in ways that you will never even know. So when you come back to this prayer, our is the presence or the alignment of me in prayer, the Son in intercession, and the Spirit in intercession, and as a Trinity, if you like, in that way, if you want to use that language, we are now in agreement saying, our Father. This is so important. This is so important. I pray that it will shape your prayer life going forward, that you don't get drawn away from the place of prayer. Even when you say nothing at all, just remember, he's praying. Just remember, he's praying, and it never stops. The Bible even goes on to say night and day. So even whilst you're sleeping, intercession is going. Did you know that even when the things happen, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I paraphrase, it basically says this. Even when situations in your life take place and when they happen, a way has already been made for you to get out. Shall we read it? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation, regardless of its source, has overtaken or enticed you that is not common to human experience. Nor is any temptation unusual or beyond human resistance. But God, he is faithful to his word. He is compassionate and trustworthy. And he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability to resist. Think about the thing that you're faced with right now that you think is inconquerable. And he says, he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability to resist. But along with the temptation, he has in the past and he is now and he will always provide the way out as well, so that you and I will be able to endure the situation that we're going through. Not flee from the situation. Endure, that means you're going to have to go through the situation and you will go through it without yielding and will overcome the whole thing, by the way, with joy. He didn't say you're going to just like drag yourself through it and hope for the best. No, no, no. He says you come out with joy. Man, do you understand why? Because when that circumstance manifested on earth, it had to go through the intercessors. So if anything is now and allowed to manifest, anything, it's as though you're going through an immigration process. In order for you to get to the other side, there is a clear vetting process that's already happened. Can David overcome this situation? Yes, he can. Can Hannah go through this situation and overcome? The intercessors say, yeah, then the situation comes. But you and I would know this if we were in alignment. The reason why we freak out, the reason why we freak out when things begin to happen is because we have failed to understand that there is nothing that is going to happen to you that has not yet come through the intercession of the Holy Spirit and the intercession of Jesus. So if it is happening, you are going to come out. Come on. If it is already happening, I can promise you this. He has already made a way. So maybe about before you can pray that God take this away, pray, God, let me see the way. Are you with me? Before we quickly say, God, take it away. No, no, change it. God, show me the way. Because I know your word has said, before anything even happens to me, you make the way out. Why is that? Because I have intercessors. The greatest intercessors ever. And they're on my side. They're on your side. That's just one word. Our. The next word he says is Father. Now, in Hebraic customs, that word literally captures a lot of things. It means provider, sustainer, protector, covering. All of those things are covered in just one word, Father. So in their customs, it wouldn't make sense for you to say, Father, can you provide for me? Because the moment you said, Father, you've already invoked provision, sustenance, protection, everything else that you actually need, because that is the heart of the Father. I love how in this prayer, he doesn't call for the king. Because the passion of the king is the advancement of the kingdom. But he calls for the Father. Because the Father's heart is to do with the affairs of his children. So if you speak to me as an earthly father, there is a reaction you will get from me in father mode that is very different to the reaction you get from me in priest mode. Same person, different outputs. And in this case, he says, if we're going to... So I work for Assemblies of God, and I'm the church planting lead. And whenever I'm praying about areas that we're going to plant churches around the whole country, I'm not praying to the Father. I'm going for the King. Because I recognize that in the work that we're doing within Assemblies of God in Great Britain, this is about advancing the kingdom. So it's about expanding the domain of his King. So every time I'm in prayer, I'm like, King, where are we going next? Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I can't touch on that because that's somebody else's part. I might be a little bit cheeky though. Can I just touch on it a little bit, just a tiny bit? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to behave. Father, my source, my origin, my sustainer, my provider, my covering in one single word. Think about it. And he says, these are some of the principles you come with in your prayers. Our Father. And then he goes on to say, in heaven. Again, this is not this idea of heaven is some detached place and earth is somewhere else. Isaiah chapter 66 tells us very clearly. He says, hey, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. So in other words, the two are never disconnected. There is always an interconnectedness where we talk about God in heaven and also his manifest presence on earth. But here's some of the little challenges that we actually have in the very same scenario. As much as he's our Father in heaven, the Bible also tells us that yes, as the Son is in intercession and the Spirit is an intercession, the Spirit's intercession is not from a far distant place. It's actually from within. Because you are filled of the Spirit, right? So the Spirit's intercession is actually from within me. And then I ask the question, how is it that you have the intercession of the Spirit in you, yet the prayer life that comes is a reaction to situations that are happening externally? It is time to amplify the voice of the intercessor from within. What are some of the things that are happening in your heart, not outside of your life? Can you see that? So your posture or your approach now in prayer becomes a lot more tactical. Before you lash out and react, silence your inside and listen. This is happening in my world, but what is the intercession in my heart? Have you ever been in that place where you want to pray about something and then you find yourself drifting and praying about something completely different? Could it be that you've moved from reaction to actual intercession? Our approach in prayer, can I have the band back? Our approach in prayer has got to shift. And this morning, I want to leave enough time for us to really lean into this place of shifting our posture in prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That word hallowed simply means holy. Holy is your name. Now, we're not saying, God, can you be holy? He already is holy. Now, what we're simply saying is, again, coming back into this place of this alignment, the holiness of God is now being revealed in and through our lives. Now the question begins to come up. How am I living my life? Is my life reflective of the holiness of God in me? In actual fact, is he holy to me? Because whatever it is I hold in reverence, I end up actually approaching it differently, and I also reveal it differently. While situations are changing in your life and you're reacting to something, the Son's intercession is in alignment with the Father's will for your sake. Here's a question that the Lord asked me the other time. He said to me, Son, in a world where comfort is a god, can I trust you with discomfort? Comfort has literally become a god. How comfortable can I get? And he asked the question, he says, can I trust you with discomfort? What do you mean, can you trust me? Who in their right mind would sign up for discomfort? But then the Bible says about the Son, he says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. What's the joy? The joy is the salvation of the people. So if you are going to be trusted with discomfort, you have got to have a bigger mandate on your life that is beyond you. That's so important. So even in the posture of prayer, coming back to the alignment, yes, I've got issues in my life. Yes, I'm going through stuff. But in alignment, what are you calling me to, Lord? I know I've got things. I can bring all kinds of requests before you right now, but I'm making a commitment 2025 that I'm amplifying my prayer life, and I'm in that place where I am prioritizing the alignment of intercession over the reaction of circumstance. Yeah, I can hear the claps getting less and less. I know. I understand. I wouldn't be clapping too if I was there. Holy is your name. Set apart for me. For me, for you. And then he says, in the setting apart, the Spirit says, by the way, don't forget, I come bearing gifts. Because I recognize that in order for you to continue to stay in alignment, there has got to be another spiritual reality that you are tapped into consistently that causes you to endure the trials and tribulations of this life. I would love to be able to preach to you this morning and say, hey, don't worry, we can just preach the problems away. But I wonder what would happen to my Christian life, your Christian life, your faith walk, when we're now able to endure some stuff. How dangerous will it be to the enemy when he recognizes that no matter what he throws at me, I will never come out of alignment. No matter what is happening in my life, if something is happening, I know that the lover of my soul has been interceding for me. I know that the Spirit within me is interceding for me. So if this thing has come through and is happening right now, it is not going to take my joy. It is not going to change my posture, because I know I will come through. Hallowed be your name. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. My Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We can talk about my, do you know why? Because Ephesians says we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we are one of those people, those weird species, that at any given time we are existing in two dimensions: earthly heavenly realms and earthly realms. Heavenly realms, earthly realm at the same time. And in us is the Spirit. Man, I'm telling you, 2025 Audacious Church, where we are going with these things and everything that God wants to do in and through our lives, we might as well come to the place where we recognize that discomfort is the name of the game. Because if you get over that bit, you have disempowered the enemy. Because his best strategy is to throw any discomfort towards you. And in a world where discomfort, where comfort is a god, discomfort is actually shunned. So can we all stand as we finish? I don't know what is happening in your heart right now, but I really sense that some of you need to reconnect with the voice of the Spirit on the inside of you. He never left you. He never stopped interceding for you. There are some things that you will never know on this side of your existence that the Spirit interceded for, but you never knew. But this is now time to amplify the voice of the Spirit in your life. And I want you to start there this morning and say, God, amplify the voice of the Spirit in my life. I am going to silence all other voices. I need to hear the voice of the Spirit. And for some of you, it's the reminder that no matter what is happening in your world, Jesus is in perpetual intercession for you. Doesn't stop. Constant. What does that do to your faith? Knowing that you have the Son interceding for you, you have the Spirit in it, how does that shape your approach in prayer? Changes everything. So we want to pray. For some of you who are able to come to the front, come and we want to pray with you as a sign that we are shifting our posture in prayer. It changes today. Our flight from discomfort changes. We recognize that if it's already happening, I'm just going to come into alignment, because there is no way he would allow something that's going to destroy me to happen to me. There is no way the Spirit would allow anything that's going to destroy me to happen to me. So if it's happening, he's already made a way. He's already made a way. But sometimes we don't tarry enough to even find it. We're so quick to want to flee and escape. But actually, sometimes we must tarry until he shows us the way. Some of the greatest lessons I've learned in the place of prayer, in terms of my situation in my life, is when I stuck it. In this church, we call it grit. Can you stick it through? Can you be trusted with discomfort? So we're going to pray. The band leads us in worship. If you're ready to make that gear change that posture in your prayer.
Thank you for listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.